40 greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
They're playing basketball. We love that basketball.
The reason why we do it, and that's to get back to the finals, and we understand the goal at hand. We want to accomplish something bigger than ourselves, and it's going to take a full 48-minute game. Coming out of halftime, just wanted to be aggressive, leave my guys, and leave it all out there on the floor.
That's Kyrie Irving, who left it all out there on the floor Tuesday night when he scored a playoff career-high 42 points to spark the defending NBA champion Cleveland Cavaliers to a 112-99 victory over the visiting Boston Celtics. Cleveland now leads the Eastern Conference Finals 3-1 and can win the series with a victory in Game 5 on Thursday night in Boston. Cavaliers superstar LeBron James finished with 34 points after picking up 4 fouls in the first half. At halftime, the Celtics led by 10 points, 57-47. Once again, Kyrie Irving.
We knew going into halftime that we hadn't played our best basketball, so, you know, it was a conscious choice that we had to make on our end. You know, how bad do we want it? You know, we just had to keep it within striking distance, and we knew that our pressure, if we picked it up, we're going to have them commit turnovers and make them feel uncomfortable, and that's when we're at our best. When our defensive intensity is at an all-time high.
Kyrie Irving was at his best in the third quarter, scoring 19 points in less than 5 minutes. LeBron James says Irving carried the team in Game 4 with his unique skills.
He's a special kid, special talent. As the stakes get higher and higher, his game gets higher and higher. But he rose to the occasion and he put the team on his back. And we definitely needed that effort from him. You know, like you said, he's just been kind of dictating the game and being a playmaker and things of that nature throughout the playoffs or even throughout this series so far. But tonight, you know, he showed why he's one of the best point guards in the league.
Joining us once again here in Studio 22 is Dan Friedel of the Voice of America's Learning English Department. Dan, as LeBron just said, Kyrie Irving has played some of his best basketball in the game's biggest moments, hasn't he?
Yeah, Kyrie, if you think about it, going back to the end of Game 7 of the NBA Finals last year when the Cavs defeated the Golden State Warriors to win their title, the first ever title for the Cavs, and the first title for a major Cleveland sports team in many decades, Kyrie made the last shot of the game from the field. He made a three-pointer over Steph Curry to give the Cavs a three-point lead that turned out to be the difference in the game. LeBron wound up making one free throw toward the end for the final four-point difference in that game, but Kyrie broke down Steph Curry and made the three-pointer that really clinched it for the Cavs in that game. And you know, we talk about how this Cleveland Cavaliers team came together. And as our listeners know, I grew up in Cleveland. I was a Cavs fan as a teenager, always disappointed by the amazing shots made by Michael Jordan to knock out my 1980s era Cleveland Cavaliers from the playoffs. But, you know, people talk about it. Michael Jordan was a great player. When he was early in his career, he had one of the best playoff games ever, one of the best series ever against the Boston Celtics. But the Bulls didn't win that series. It wasn't until they got these complimentary players like Scottie Pippen that the Bulls really took off to the next level, were able to surpass the Pistons, were able to get into the finals and beat teams like the Lakers and the Portland Trail Blazers, teams like that. So LeBron really did need a top-level second player like Kyrie to bring the Cavs to the next level. And the Cavs would never have gotten Kyrie Irving if LeBron hadn't left for Miami when he did. You know, Kyrie was a freshman in college at Duke University, and he came out the next year. The Cavs were the worst team in the NBA after losing LeBron, and they had the number one pick, and they got Kyrie. So, you know, it all kind of came full circle when LeBron came back two seasons ago and was able to have a great second player like that who could pick him up when he wasn't doing well. And as you mentioned, LeBron had a rough first half, four fouls in the first half, really a non-factor as the Celtics got a 16-point lead at one point. So they needed to rely on Kyrie to keep bring them back into the game. Otherwise, we're looking at a 2-2 series going into Game 5.
The Cavs have other weapons outside of Kyrie and LeBron. Kevin Love with a big game in Game 4. Talk about Kevin.
Yeah, Kevin Love. I mean, just looking at the stats, he was outstanding. You know, just kind of a consistent game. 17 points, 17 rebounds. I mean, not a consistent game in the sense of just like a bland game, but just a guy who's there to serve as another option for the Cavs, keep things together, give them a second chance to hold on to the ball with his rebounding, to get to limit the other team, to limit Boston to one shot in the possession with his rebounding. And, you know, we have a fun memory of Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love in a commercial a few years ago, where they're wearing makeup and disguises, looking like old men going to the playground and taking on a bunch of young kids in a pickup game. And to see them, you know, that was a fantasy. That was back then when, you know, Kyrie was a young player on the Cleveland Cavaliers and Kevin Love was with the Minnesota Timberwolves. And little did you know that a few years later they'd be on the same team making a run at the second consecutive championship. So Kevin Love is a hugely important player for this team.
And when you talk championships in the NBA, the Celtics have the proudest pedigree of any team, 17 championships. I think a lot of Celtics fans maybe were wondering whether they would be competitive against the Cavaliers after the injury to their all-star point guard, Isaiah Thomas, but they've been very competitive.
Yeah, the Celtics have shown some good character getting things together after Thomas went out of Game 3 and actually winning that game. The Cavs had a big lead during Game 3 and wound up losing thanks to a three-pointer at the end of the game. And Thomas didn't play last night at all. He was out of the game completely. Didn't even try to make a you know heroic effort to be on the floor and maybe give his team a mental boost. And the Celtics had a big lead. And you know if it hadn't been for Irving and then LeBron picking things up in the fourth quarter, like I said, we could be going into Game 5 with the series tied. And that would have been a big swing. I mean, after the first two games of the series, everybody thought it was going to be a walkover for the Cavs. And the Celtics have shown some character. And the future is incredibly bright for the Celtics.
They recently nabbed the number one pick in the NBA draft, which will be held at the end of June. How important is that, Dan, to the Celtics' future?
Well, this is kind of a fortunate, you know, you think about how, well, you've got these teams on the floor right now today, but you go back and you think about how the team was constructed. This Celtics team would not be what it is today without some moves going back a few years ago when the Celtics made a trade with the Brooklyn Nets, letting Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett and Ray Allen all go after they had that good run 2010, 2011, around then to get into the NBA Finals and win a championship. They really pulled off a good deal getting this number one pick that was at one point the property of the Brooklyn Nets. And that turns in, through the luck of the NBA lottery, to be the number one pick, which everybody says is pretty clearly University of Washington player Markelle Fultz, who's a guard. It'll be interesting to see how he fits in with Isaiah Thomas, who's such an important player for the Celtics. And then the bonus is that Brad Stevens, when he was the coach of Butler University in Indiana in college, his star protege was Gordon Hayward, who's an all-star level player in the NBA, and he's a free agent now, and all signs point to the Celtics making a run at Hayward. So basically, you have the number one pick coming to Boston, and you have the top, arguably the top free agent, probably coming to Boston later on this summer. That team is going to be stacked. Everybody says, oh, you know, LeBron in the East, the Cavs in the East, there's no competition, but we're clearly seeing that next year there's going to be some serious competition.
Dan, awaiting the winner of the Cavaliers-Celtics series, the Golden State Warriors, for a third consecutive year, They advanced to the NBA Finals after sweeping the San Antonio Spurs in four consecutive games. Your thoughts on that series, Dan?
Well, the San Antonio Spurs, you know, they laid it all on the line, won a couple of games in their previous series against the Houston Rockets without some of their top players, Tony Parker being out for the playoffs, Kawhi Leonard being injured, not at his full capacity. Some of these veteran players for the Spurs picked up the slack and pushed them into the next round against Golden State. But Golden State is just so strong with their top three or four players, Steph Curry, and now you have the addition of one of the best players in the NBA from the last few years, who's there to provide some support in case Curry is not able to carry the load. I was just looking at a story that shows that Curry is showing his ability to be flexible. He doesn't only have to be a scorer. So the Cavs have their work cut out for them against Golden State if they manage to get past the Celtics. It'll be an interesting series. And like I've said before, this would be a series where both teams, based on the rest that they've had, if Cleveland winds up only losing one game in the playoffs up to this point and Golden State sweeps all the way through, they've 12-0, both teams will be rested. They should both be 100%. It really will be kind of a true clash of the Titans.
Dan, let's give a salute to San Antonio's 39-year-old Argentine star, Manu Ginobili. He might have played his last NBA game in that Game 4 loss to the Warriors. Manu described as one of the most creative and dynamic players in NBA history. How do you think Manu will be remembered?
Well, my personal experience with him is I've covered the Olympics a few times and seen the Argentinian team play in person. Ginobili is somebody who put South American basketball on the global map. The fact that he was not only able to guide that national team to such prominence in the Olympics, but translate that into a sustained career in the NBA. It's not just how these players do for their national team or in the NBA. Really, since the NBA has become such a global game, you have to judge them how they do both in the international scene and in the NBA. And one has to argue, that going back to some of the Eastern European stars, that Ginobili is right up there with all of the best international players, and then he has the accolades in the NBA to go right there with it, and not a lot of players can say that.
Dan Friedel of the Voice of America's Learning English Department. Thank you, Dan. Just ahead on the Sunny Side of Sports, Wednesday's results at the FIFA Under-20 World Cup football tournament in South Korea. In action Wednesday at the FIFA Under-20 World Cup football tournament in South Korea, Zambia and Uruguay booked places in the knockout round of 16 with victories. Zambia rallied for a 4-2 win over Iran, while Uruguay defeated Japan 2-0. Iran got goals from Shikari in the 7th and 49th minutes to take a 2-0 lead over Zambia. But the Zambian boys storm back, getting goals from Sakala in the 54th minute, Mwepu in the 59th minute, Banda in the 65th minute, and Daka in the 71st minute. Zambia and Uruguay each have the maximum 6 points from two matches to top group C and D, respectively, in South Korea. In Wednesday's two other matches, Italy defeated South Africa 2-0, and Costa Rica and Portugal played to a one-all draw. Italy and Japan have 3 points each in Group D, while South Africa has no points. In Group C, Zambia tops the table with 6 points, and as I mentioned, the Zambian boys are through to the knockout stage. Iran has 3 points, and Portugal and Costa Rica each have 1 point. Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is Andrew Palcheski, the VOA's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sunny. Good to be here with you.
What's trending on this Wednesday in the sports world, Andrew?
Well, a big decision out of the Spanish Supreme Court. They have upheld Lionel Messi's tax evasion conviction. So he now faces up to 21 months in jail and 2 million euros in fines. Likely won't face that jail time because he is a celebrity. There's a lot of talk on social media that he won't have to go to prison, maybe serve probation, but will likely have to pay back that money. Now, fans of Messi's are very upset about the sentence, hoping that he will avoid the jail time, saying that it was a tax evasion case when he's only 18 years old, so he shouldn't face such a harsh punishment for a mistake he made when he was so young, and his father was involved in that. It said he'll avoid, jail time because maybe people in the courts want to keep him playing and want to see him keep playing. So that's one hope from those Messi fans that he'll avoid jail time, maybe because of that, if not because of his fame. But the Messi haters are loving it, especially the Cristiano Ronaldo fans. We're seeing a lot of cheering from them on social media, a lot of excitement from them. Maybe not the most sportsmanlike thing to be excited about, but I did see one social media post of a picture of Cristiano Ronaldo smiling, saying, "Ronaldo right now after Messi's tax fraud conviction." So that was the reaction that they expected him to have, being smiling from ear to ear. And lots of people on both sides, whether you're a Messi fan or a Messi hater, lots of people putting out the same tweet and post. Things are messy for Lionel Messi. So we saw that pun used quite a lot across social media.
Andrew, I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOASunny. And my Twitter handle is @VOASunnySports. What else is trending out there, Andrew?
Well, we're in the off season for the National Football League, but there's some big news coming out of that. Two new rules that have been implemented that are causing a lot of conversation. So the first is the shortening of overtime. They're going to shorten overtime in the National Football League from 15 minutes to 10 minutes. Lots of people saying this means that there'll be more ties in the National Football League because a lot of instances when you go into overtime, teams are still tied after 10 minutes. Nobody's scored yet. So people anticipating there'll be a lot more ties. They're saying that's bad for the game. They'd like to see more decisive, conclusive outcomes for the National Football League games. So we'll see how that plays out once the season kicks off later this year in September. But the other big rule change coming down, lots of people very excited about this one, the touchdown celebrations. Now, in the past, the National Football League has cracked down on touchdown celebrations. They haven't liked it when players have gone excessively celebrating in the end zone. They've gotten penalties, 15-yard penalties for excessive celebration. National Football League Commissioner Roger Goodell releasing a letter where he says, "Just as NFL teams use the offseason to get better, at the league we use this time to listen to players, coaches, officials, and fans about how we can continue to improve our great game." And he goes on to talk about how they are relaxing the rules when it comes to touchdown celebrations. So here are the examples that he gives. Using the football as a prop after a touchdown. So if you use it as like a telephone or you're using it, rocking it as a baby, that's totally fine now. It used to be a problem.
Okay. And you can dunk with it maybe over the goalposts?
I believe you can.
If
you can jump that high, I believe that's cool. Celebrating on the ground, a lot of players will do like the snake and kind of wriggle their bodies around. Or my favorite, actually, the example they used in this press release, in very snowy Green Bay, up in Wisconsin where the Green Bay Packers play, if it snows during the game and you want to make a snow angel after your touchdown. That's totally cool. You can make a snow angel in the end zone. And then group demonstrations. This is a big one, too. A lot of teammates have choreographed demonstrations or kind of choreographed dances that they do in the end zone after somebody scores. So that is totally allowed. Some things will still not be allowed. You cannot have any weaponry, kind of fake weaponry, hands up as guns, things like that, or anything else that would be considered offensive. But fans very happy about this. They said that after years of that NFL reputation as the no fun league, finally they're doing something fun for the players and fun for the fans, because I think a lot of fans really like those touchdown celebrations. And oftentimes we see them shared across social media after they happen. Sometimes the players even are known for their specific touchdown celebrations. So a big move for the NFL, and one that the fans are very happy about and looking forward to this season.
Dan Friedel still in the studio. Maybe a softening of the NFL commissioner, Dan. What do you think, Roger Goodell?
It's too bad a couple of Cincinnati Bengals aren't still in the league with Icky Woods and Chad Johnson.
I remember Icky.
The Icky Shuffle could make a comeback, and so could Chad Johnson, who always had a lot of choreographed routines. I mean, if you think about it, the chances of scoring a touchdown in an NFL game are so low that you ought to be able to celebrate it. And the way the careers are very short in the NFL,
good point,
you might only get one chance to score a touchdown, so you might as well make the most of it.
What else is trending out there, Andrew?
So we talked about yesterday the bombing in Manchester and how Manchester United was sending their thoughts and condolences. And we said that we anticipated other teams, not just across the UK, but around the world, to offer their condolences and remembrances. And indeed, we've seen that last night. So we had actually Chelsea canceling their Premier League victory parade after the attacks for two reasons. One, out of respect for the victims of that bombing, and two, because of the heightened security climate in the UK. They said it would be inappropriate for both of those reasons to have that parade. So fans of Chelsea, while they're disappointed they won't get to see that parade, are very much in agreement with that. They said that's the right move to make. We also saw across Major League Baseball some memorials, including from the New York Yankees. They had a moment of silence last night before their game. And then a moment of silence before last night's Game 6 of the Eastern Conference Finals in the National Hockey League. Now, speaking of that game in the National Hockey League, we have National Basketball Association playoffs going on, National Hockey League playoffs going on. Two very different stories. The NBA has been pretty much a straight shot through. In fact, for the Golden State Warriors, it has been a straight shot through to the finals.
Undefeated
in the playoffs. Last night's do-or-die Game 6, the Ottawa Senators won 2-1 against the Pittsburgh Penguins, forcing a decisive Game 7 in that series. So quite the opposite. A lot of those series have gone the distance in the National Hockey League. But a lot of people pointing out on social media photos of empty seats in the upper decks of the Canadian Tire Center there in Ottawa, saying that it's disappointing that more fans weren't there, that the team didn't sell out the arena. And of course, it's the playoffs, and not just the playoffs, but the Eastern Conference Finals. They're one of the last four teams in the National Hockey League playoffs, and now one of the last three now that the Western Conference is settled. So they really said there should be more fans up there. But a lot of people talking on social media about this Canadian Tire Center where the Ottawa Senators play. It's actually 30 kilometers from downtown Ottawa. So fans are saying, hey, wait a minute, not our fault. It's really hard to get to. It's way out of the way. And one person tweeted out and joked and said, bring the Senators to a real hockey market like Ottawa, because it's so far outside the city. They say, bring it into the actual city. But we've seen this, especially in U.S. sports, a lot of teams now moving their stadiums outside of the cities into the suburban areas where they have more of their fans. Notably, the Atlanta Braves in the Major League Baseball just did this season. They opened a new stadium that's, I think, 20 or 25 miles away from their old stadium. San Francisco 49ers have done this. They've moved their stadium, I think, 40 miles away from San Francisco. So it is a trend that we're seeing, one that the fans, at least in this case, are not very supportive of, but one I think we're going to continue to see trending.
Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew.
Thanks very much, Sonny.
And that wraps up the May 24th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Nick Ivanoff. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it. Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
There is renewed hope for the peace process in Somalia, said U.S. Defense Secretary Jim Mattis following a recent British-sponsored conference on Somalia in London. Secretary Mattis told reporters that he had a productive meeting with Somali President Mohamed Abdullah Mohamed. The United States, he said, has a role to play in Somalia and is helping that nation defeat al-Shabaab, a vicious terrorist group. The United Nations, the African Union, and the European Union joined with Arab, African, and European nations to discuss the way forward. Mattis said Somalia has an economic and a governmental program to put it back on its feet, and that international support is crucial to the process. So we were working on how the future looks, and what nations could commit what to what, and get the framework right, Mattis said. It includes on the security side both a continued maturation of their security forces in the defenses against al-Shabaab, but it also includes a reconciliation program designed to pull the fence sitters and the middle of the roaders away from al-Shabaab. It's very well put together. The holistic approach to the situation in Somalia is the one that has a chance of succeeding, Mattis said. There is certainly an attitude of renewed hope based on the election of what appears to be a very good leader in terms of understanding the need for military security, but as well economic efforts, and certainly reconciliation is going to have to mark this way forward as well, he said. Mattis praised the African Union peacekeeping mission in Somalia, saying the African Union mission in Somalia troops have done a good job in a difficult position. For years, AMISOM and the Somali soldiers have fought against a pretty tough enemy that has sworn allegiance to al-Qaeda, Secretary Mattis said. It's an enemy that's got to be fought and the people have to be defended. The United States is committed to doing its part.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government. If you have a comment, please write to Editorials, VOA, Washington, D.C., 20237, USA. You may also comment and view all our current editorials at the VOA Editorials homepage, voanews.com/editorials.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, an in-depth look at the significance of Africa Day. Africa Day commemorates the creation of the Organization of African Unity on May 25, 1963. The historical and cultural meaning of Africa Day.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa. VOA.
Hello, I'm Douglas Impoga. Join me for Reporters Roundtable every Thursday at 17:30 UTC. We'll take an in-depth look at an African news topic important to you. We'll have African journalists and expert guests share their ideas on the topic at hand. So, please plan to be with us every Thursday at 17:30 UTC, right here on The Voice of America.
The lyrics could be French,
English,
Portuguese,
Bantu,
Arabic, etc.
It is the beat.
The African beat that counts.
The beat does all the translations.
It cuts across all languages and gives us the understanding that this is the African beat.
It is so distinct.
And adhesive.
It binds us together.
African beat on The Voice of America. Mondays through Fridays, 0900 and 2000 Universal Time.
With David Bandy.
Hello, Africa. I'm James Batte, host of VOA's Daybreak Africa.
VOA.
When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you the news as it happens. Listen to Daybreak Africa Monday through Friday at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC. And our 5-minute newscast come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.